Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us this Tuesday, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30-ish. And as we come together, we always like to start off our show with prayer. Then we come often back after we have prayer. We will have a song. And after song, we will then have the reading of Scripture. And after the reading of Scripture, we will have intercessory prayer, and we will begin our Bible study. We're so grateful for you being with us this evening that we ask that you would continue to join us and bring a friend next week. And as we begin, we'd ask that you hold us up in prayer as we begin together. Lord, we come before you. We ask for a special blessing, O God. You would lead, God, and direct us as we go further into your studies. But we just ask tonight, as we are studying the prophet, the false prophet, that you would give us leadership, that you would guide us, that you would continue to be with us as we go forth today. Lord, we asking as well that we would have support on the Bible study, and we have people who would come and join us and interact with us as we teach the Word of God. We ask these blessings now in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. today, Bishop?
The scripture for today is Revelation 13, verse 13 through 14.
Are you going to have Margaret on one of them read it?
Yes, please. Margaret, are you there, ma'am?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, Bishop, I'm here. 13 through 14.
Yes, ma'am. Revelation 13,
okay.
13 through 14.
It performs...
Excuse me, Margaret, hold, could you back up to verse 11 and go through 14?
Okay, I thought, yes. Revelation chapter 13, verse 11 through 14. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. And by the signs that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. The word of God for the people of God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Margaret.
Welcome.
This is the time where we come to make our requests be made known unto God. Are there any prayer requests that we have right now? Hello? Does anybody have any prayer requests?
Hello, Bishop. This is Margaret, and I have a prayer request for my family who lives in Poland, for my uncle and his wife and daughter, and just prayers for protection, and they are believers, but just for a special anointing from God and the Lord and Jesus.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Is there anybody else?
Dr. Susie.
Hi, Dr. Susie.
I'd like to ask that you would please pray for a job opportunity that I have, as well as I have the job. It just depends on the process. So if you would pray that the process could be implemented so that I can get to have the job advancement. So.
Amen.
I also want to lift up my son, James. James is wanting a job, and he needs access to the internship program, and he's trying to connect with that.
Okay.
So he's like, pray there. And, of course, pray for Sydney, her health and all of our health. So,
amen.
Thank you.
This is Bishop. I have started the process to have some things restored, and it looks good. Today was the first day, and I have two more dates, the 28th of this month and the 29th of this month. Just asking God for favor, and that before I left Illinois, the Lord showed me certain things, and I'm going through it, and I'm at the end of that. So I'm seeing a new turn in my life. Also, since leaving Illinois, well, prior to leaving Illinois, I have lost a lot of wealth, and I want to continue that journey. So I'm really getting ready to take a deep plunge into furthering of changing my diet. So I ask you guys to pray with me on that as well. Is there anybody else that has any prayer requests at this time? If not, let's go to the Lord. God, we praise you. We bless you. We honor you. We adore you. We worship you. We thank you for who you are in our lives. We extol you. We exalt you. You are the God of the universe. You are the creator of this world. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your tender mercy. We thank you for salvation, the gift of salvation. We thank you for Christ's sacrifice on the cross, who was willing to die for people that weren't even born yet. We thank you for his love, his kindness. We thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son, that if we just believe in him, we would not die, but live forever in your presence. We thank you for that, Lord God. Lord, we lift up the people that are in the listening audience all over the world, those that stand in the need of a blessing, those that stand in the need of a healing, the pastors that are going through persecution. We thank you for their boldness and their willingness and their faith and their love and their commitment to you, Lord. We pray that you would touch them, Holy Spirit, empower them, keep them, embolden them to not shirk back from what you called them to do. Lord, I pray that you will draw men unto thee. You said if you be lifted up, you will draw all men, all women, all boys, all girls unto you. And Lord, you were lifted up on that cross, which we celebrate and prepare for in this Lenten season. You were lifted up from the earth, and you are drawing people to you, and we bless you and glorify you for that. Lord, we lift up Margaret's family in Poland, and they are believers, and we touch and agree. You said, where two on earth agree is touching mm-hmm. any one thing, it shall be done of our Father which is in heaven. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, we touch and agree for an extra anointing, a powerful anointing on them now to stand, to declare the gospel, and Lord, to protect them as well, that they would be used as evangelists in this time that we live in. We pray for Margaret's daughter. We pray for the family, her whole family, not only in Poland, but here in the United States. Lord, bless them with favor, God. Cover them in the name of Jesus. Lord, we lift up Dr. Susie right now. You told us, Lord God, if we would touch and agree. You said, if we believe that those things which we say shall come to pass, we shall have whatever we say. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, we speak favor. We thank you for the process, Lord God. Sometimes we want things right now, but there's a process. And, Lord, I thank you that you could make the crooked straight. You could spring a well in the middle of the desert, Lord God, and there is nothing that's too hard for you. So, Lord, we thank you. We dare to trust you and agree with you, and we thank you that the process will be set in place so this job opportunity will not only be an opportunity, but it will become a reality in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I thank you that you've been with me all of my life. And I thank you that you hear us when we pray. And so, Father, as we come before your throne, we thank you for this opportunity of prayer. Thank you for touching my life and saving my life. Thank you for allowing me to lose the weight, but I thank you for the people that you brought in my life to influence me to do better with my diet, to continue to lose the weight, continue on the path of health, that you're restoring the years that the cankerworm and the palmer worm has eaten, and somebody else, that's for you too. God will restore. He said, I behold, mm-hmm. I restore the years that the palmer worm and the cankerworm is eaten. It'll be like you have never lost anything. So, Father, as I continue to lose the weight, change my diet, change my desires, and change me continually to be conformed into the image of your dear Son. That's for everybody on this line and everybody that's listening. Continue to change us into the image of your dear Son. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray for those on the panel that are not able to be. We pray for Eric, and we pray for everybody. We pray for everyone. And Sister Shirley.
Mateo,
that's the name I was really trying to pull out.
He was having problems with his, he was having problems with his head, his skull. He fell, hurt his skull.
Lord, heal Mateo's head and bring him back to us as soon as possible in Jesus' mighty name. We love you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We are so excited because God has and always does provide everything God says God's going to do. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. No matter what challenges, what praises we bring, he will be with us. It says we go through the waters and we will not drown. We go through the fire and we will not burn. God has promised his own that he will take care of them. And so we trust him even now. Amen. Thank you, Brother Bishop. What an awesome, awesome, awesome prayer time.
God
so as we come tonight, we're going to do a roll call so we can find out who is on the line.
Bishop Michael in Tulsa.
Shirley and Merlin.
Hi, Shirley.
Hola. Hola.
We got Shirley and Merlin.
Brooksville.
Margaret and Brooksville.
Jerry in Maine.
Edith from Maine.
Hey, Jerry.
Jerry. Yeah. And Maine, and I heard the last one was Edith and Maine.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else on the line who'd like to be a part, or if you'd just like to just sit there and listen, you're more than welcome. Anytime you feel like you're ready to engage, feel free to. So we are excited and asking that as we go into, we're into Lent, that we would be very conscientious. Just wanted to share just a snippet of what God is saying to me. Because we've been so faithful over a few things, God is going to give us more. And so we have radio time. And we are going to create a peer group where of preaching and teaching and try to get every day filled with the word that will go forth about the good news and the end time. We will be serving as a beacon of light to any and everybody that wants to know who Jesus is. And we will do this as often as we can get a day for. So we'll have every day of the week that we'll have some activity going on, and our goal is to get it completely full. So we even have pastors from Africa, because the time zone is different. They will be sending in preaching tapes so that they can keep the other part of the time full, and pastors from other areas. So we ask that you continue to pray. Those of you who can't participate in serving as monitors over the programs, we look forward to your support and your participation. And we know that God is doing a great new thing. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So tonight we will be, you know, we have been talking in the past since January. We've been back into the book of signs. In January, we were talking about heaven. We talked about the judgment seat of Christ. We talked about rewards and worshiping the Lord. We talked about tribulation signs. We talked about the four riders. And then last week, we talked about the Antichrist. Tonight, the Reverend Dr. Tobi Bishop is going to lead us in a study about the false prophet.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to speak for what is to come. Amen. As if it already works.
Amen.
So, Bishop, when you're ready, let's go.
Thank you to the already Dr. Susie for that wonderful introduction. So I think we would be remiss to talk about the false prophet until we first look at what a real prophet is. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
So Sister Shirley, what's a real prophet, ma'am? Biblical
real prophet. A real prophet to me is God.
Mm-hmm.
Without even saying a word.
Okay.
There is some that's what a real prophet is to me is God.
Yes.
He shows you, comes into your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real prophet to me is God. That's the only real prophet I know and want to know.
Okay. Amen. And I can hear the conviction in your voice. We're probably going to expound on that conviction in your voice later on.
Okay.
Jerry, what do you think a real prophet is?
Someone that God has spoken through in a human voice to let us know what his thoughts and feelings are for the future.
So that's very good, both of you. Very good, Margaret.
I believe that a prophet is someone who comes to bring the word of the Lord to God's people and speaks the truth and sometimes the future events which have not come to be, and warns people to either repent or turn this way or that way according to God's will in order to bless them.
Amen. Sister Edith, what do you think? Let's hear from you, Sister Edith.
I'm coming. My interpretation of a prophet from what I got out of God's word was if he testifies and it comes true, he's a true prophet.
And that's you already flowing, Sister Edith. You are already flowing.
Mm-hmm.
In 1844, William Miller predicted that Christ would return in 1884. I got a question. I have to interrupt my own self. Does anybody know what the Bible says about knowing when Christ will return? Can anybody give me an answer to that? Something about the day and the hour. Does anybody know that?
No, nobody knows. Only God.
Only God knows.
Yeah.
Jerry, go ahead. What did you say?
I said only God knows the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the hour.
And
go ahead.
That's what I said.
Who's that speaking?
Also.
And this is Shirley.
Go ahead, Shirley.
A lot of people speculate because what is going on, because it says so in the Bible, so many of the things that are in the Bible. So people speculate. So no one knows the hour, nor the time, nor the day when he will come.
Jesus himself says, no man knows the day nor the hour, only the Father in heaven knows that day.
Amen.
And this is the way sometimes, the snotty version, Michael Snotty, me, thinks that even if you guess right, even if you guess right, God say, well, you know what, I'm going to change because he guessed right, because there's going to be, nobody's going to get credit for the prediction of when Jesus returns. Nobody will ever get credit for the rapture.
Right.
We can see the signs. Go ahead.
No, I want you to finish your thought.
We can see from the signs that these what we're seeing now, that's just an indication of the things that are coming. He said, Jesus said what? These are the beginning of sorrow. But the
right.
end is still not yet.
Right.
Right.
Right. Dr. Susie, you were getting ready to say something now.
Yes. Matthew 24:36-38 says, no one knows when that day or time will be. The Son and the angels in heaven don't know when it will be. Only the
right.
Father knows.
Only the Father.
Amen. Matthew 24:36-38.
Amen. And to show you how spot on Sister Edith was, you know, well, let me back up. When William Miller made that prediction in 1844, this is kind of humorous, but it's not. It's kind of, it's also pretty tragic. In 1844, he said Jesus was coming back in 84. What did the people do? They sold their homes and possessions due to the prediction. Can I ask another question? If you knew the coming of Jesus was imminent in the next 3 days, why would you sell your house?
Amen.
Can somebody help me with that one? What you gonna do with the money in 3 days? You coming back Saturday. You just sold your
exactly.
$300 million house. What you gonna do with the money?
Exactly.
There was a guy here in Tulsa. In 1988, wrote a book. Well, he released the book, 88 Reasons Why Christ Will Return in 88. People did the same thing. That's where that question came from. I'm not, if Jesus is coming back, you know he's coming back, you think he's coming back, what good does it do to sell your possessions and your house and into your annuities and your banking account and your savings account? So, this leads me to the next question. What is a biblical prophet? And Sister Edith touched on. Well, let me go back down. Let me back up. Somebody read for me 1 Kings 15:20-26.
Who's got
it? In Revelation?
No, 1 Kings 15:20-26. Who has that
first,
for me?
Oh, Mateo's here.
Okay,
oh, praise God, Mateo.
Bishop, you said 1 Kings, what chapter?
The 15th chapter, the 20th verse through the 26th verse.
Okay, the 20th verse to the 26th
verse.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Okay.
Ben-Hadad
agreed
with King,
with King Ahaz
and sent the commanders of his force against the town of Israel. He conquered Ajan, excuse my pronunciation, Dan, Abel, Beth, and Machi, and all of Canaanites, in addition to Naphtali. When Behash heard this, he stopped building Ramath and withdrew to Tarsiah.
I think I might have quoted that wrong. Try 2 Kings.
2 Timothy? 2 Kings?
2 Kings, yes.
Okay, let's do 2 Kings.
Okay, let's do
2 Kings. And which chapter again?
The 15th chapter to the 20 to the 26th verse.
Okay, the 20th. Okay, let's see. 20th to the 26th
verse.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Menahem extracted this money from Israel. Every wealthy person had contributed 50 shekels of silver.
Okay, that's
given to the
I messed up on that altogether. I just messed up on that. Let's just forget. Y'all, erase that. Don't charge it to my head. Charge it to my heart. But I was trying to say that a biblical. Yeah. Either way, I messed up, okay?
That's all right. We don't charge it to your heart.
Okay. Samuel was God's representative, is what I was trying to show you. And he spoke to the head of the kingdom because of his disobedience. Amen? When Saul disobeyed God, what was the command that God gave to Saul? To go down to Amalek, right? And kill the Amalekites, right? Does anybody remember what Samuel did? I mean, Saul did. Why was Saul rejected?
So this is chapter, Susie. It's in 1 Samuel 12 through 15. And then Saul disobeyed the Lord. He disobeyed the Lord by offering a sacrifice instead of waiting for Samuel to do it.
So, Dr. Susie, when God gave Samuel the command to go down and to do what to the Amalekites? What was the exact command?
What was the exact command that he gave him? It said that he was upset with, oh, you want the exact wording. Let's see. I'm going to read it for you since I don't know it exactly. Here we go. Okay. First Samuel 12 through 15. Let me read it. While the Israelites were gathered to confirm Saul as their king, Samuel reproved them for ingratitude and exhorted them to follow the Lord. When threatened by a Philistine attack, Saul disobeyed the Lord by offering a sacrifice instead of waiting for Samuel to do it. Jonathan and Saul led the Israelites to victory in battle against the Philistines. Saul again disobeyed the Lord by not fulfilling his command to destroy the Amalekites and all of their animals, and the Lord rejected Saul as the king of Israel.
To kill what?
The Amalekites.
And what else?
Their animals. All of their animals.
All the animals. And so Saul meets him, and his response was what? What is this bleeding of sheep that I hear? Why do I hear sheep?
Well,
and what did he say? I bought them back for what? What did Saul say? I bought them out that I could do what? I can make sacrifice. I'm a military man. And one of the things that they impressed upon us, if you have no order, what do you do? You follow the last order that you were given first, primarily.
All right, Jerry. You know,
the last order that they gave you, you follow that one first.
Amen.
What was the order? The order was to kill everything. So that means you don't twist the order. You don't amend the order. You don't edit the order. God said kill everything. And what happened? Here's the real prophet of God talking to him and said, God has rejected you today. As the king. Okay, that's the real problem. Let's continue on. Let's please continue on because I want to get somewhere quickly with this lesson. The prophet is God's messenger and spokesperson. Samuel the prophet anointed Saul to be king. God rejected him. And so now we're going to go to the penalty of a false prophet. 13, Deuteronomy 13. 1 through 5. Somebody get that. And somebody find Deuteronomy 18, 20 through 22. Let's read Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5. Whoever gets it, let me know. Announce who you are. And then read. And then the Deuteronomy 18 chapter.
I got Deuteronomy 13. I have Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5.
Please, go ahead and read, Sister Shirley.
Okay. If a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a sign or wonder, and if the sign or wonder spoken of takes place, and the prophet says, let us follow other gods, God you have not known, and let us worship him. You must not listen to the word of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and all your soul. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him, serve him, and hold fast to him. That prophet or dreamer must be put to death for inciting rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. That prophet or dreamer tried to turn you from the way of the Lord your God commanded you to follow. You must purge the evil from among you.
So let's remember what she just read. One of the main reasons, if not the primary reason, for false prophets, one of the main purposes, this is going to come back in the lesson, maybe not today, but it's the main thing that the prophet, the false prophet wants to do is to do what? Turn you away from God.
Turn your way from God.
And so you understand the weightiness of the office of the prophet. Somebody read for me Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5.
18?
No, you just read that. Deuteronomy 18. Yeah. Deuteronomy 18, 21 through 22.
Okay.
Margaret, I have it 21 through
22.
Okay. And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him.
So,
can I read something?
Please, doctor.
This is Dr. Susie, and forgive me, it's not marked well what verse I'm beginning with, but it's chapter 18, and it says, I think it's a New Living Translation starting at 9. When you enter, and this is important because we need to understand why things are detestable. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, be very careful not to imitate the detestable customs of the nations living there. For example, never sacrifice your son or daughter as a burnt offering. And do not let your people practice, fortune-telling or use sorcery or interpret omens or engage in witchcraft or cast spells or function as mediums or psychics or call forth the spirits of the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. It is because the other nations have done these detestable things that the Lord your God will drive them out ahead of you. But you must be blameless before the Lord your God. The nations you are about to displace consult sorcerers and fortune tellers, but the Lord your God forbids you to do such things. And Moses continued, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him, for this is what you yourselves requested of the Lord your God when you were assembled at Mount Sinai. You said, don't let us hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, or see this blazing fire, for we will die. Then the Lord said to me, what they have said is right. I will raise up a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites. I will put my word, this is what happens with a prophet, in his mouth. He will tell the people everything commanded him.
Yes.
I will, God saying this, personally deal with anyone who will not listen to the messages the prophet proclaims on my behalf. But any prophet who falsely claims to speak in my name or who speaks in the name of another god must die. But you may wonder, and this is closing, how will we know whether or not a prophecy is from the Lord? If the prophet speaks in the Lord's name, but his prediction, does not happen or come true, you will know that the Lord did not give that message. That prophet has spoken without my authority and need not be feared. So that's how you know a prophet.
Come on.
Amen.
Behold, a virgin shall conceive. He, in his, like, shall conceive. He's talking future tense about the birth of Jesus in Isaiah. And that's a crucifixion. He speaks, glory. Let me calm down. Past tense. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. But with his stripes, present tense, we are healed.
We are healed.
Wow. That was 700 years before the birth of Christ. But in the mind of God, it already happened. I'm going to leave that alone. I'm not going to preach. I'm going to teach. Somebody find for me Revelation 13:11. Revelation 16:13, Revelation 19:20, Revelation 20:10. That's Revelation 13:11, Revelation 16:13.
I have Revelation 13:11.
Thank you. Revelation 16:13.
16:13.
Yes. Somebody find for me Revelation 19:20.
Okay, I got Revelation 19:20.
And somebody find Revelation 20:10. That's good. We're doing teamwork.
Jared, can you get one of those? Revelation 20:10, Jared, can you get that?
20:10? Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Edith? Are you there, Edith?
Edith, are you on mute?
I'm here.
Thank you.
Cool. Can you get Revelation 16:13?
So, as we look at this chapter on the false prophet, we see that he was foretold in the book of Revelation. Margaret, go, please, ma'am.
Okay. Chapter 13, verse 11. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon.
A lamb and a dragon. Let's keep that in our vision. Revelation 16:13.
That's mine.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Thirteen.
And I saw three unclean spirits. Like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet.
Amen.
All right.
Revelation 19:20.
But the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who had performed the signs on its behalf. With these signs, he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur.
In Revelation 20:10.
Revelation 20:10 is, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you. So we can see that this is not going to tempt us that are in the Word, that are praying, that are seeking God's face. Does anyone think that would catch anybody who's born again to study the Bible? Do you think that would catch us by surprise?
Can you repeat that question, please?
Will that catch anybody who's praying, believing, has a worship relationship, a whole relationship with God? Will that catch us by surprise?
Will that what catch us by surprise?
Well, first of all, we're going to be raptured. But should that catch anybody by surprise if they've been reading the Word?
Should the rapture catch us by surprise?
The action of the Antichrist.
No, it shouldn't.
Thank you.
So, according to Dr. Jeremiah, this is Dr. Susie, is that by the time the Antichrist is revealed, we will be gone.
Yes. Right.
Right.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Because when this dude comes on the scene, the Antichrist and his cronies come on the scene, it's going to look like what? Does anybody remember what we've already talked about? What is the world going to look like? Go.
Chaos.
Chaos and Armageddon.
So out of this chaos, what's going to rise? Who's going to rise?
The Antichrist, a person who will bring peace, because he will imitate and say, he'll say that he's going to cause peace with Israel. For 3.5 years, that will occur, and then he'll turn.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so we see this vision of the Antichrist, a lion, not a lion, excuse me, that's wrong, a lamb and a dragon.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like to you? I mean, what do you think of a lamb and a dragon? What does that combination speak to you? A lamb, gentle lamb, and a roaring dragon, fire-breathing dragon. What do those combinations suggest to you? Anybody can answer.
For me, this is Dr. Susie. They're the antithesis. One reminds me of Christ, who is symbolic of the lamb, and the one that's symbolic of the dragon is Satan.
And just came to me. Does anybody know what Satan is? One of his names? What is he described as?
He's a deceiver. He's also the angel of light. I mean, he's got lots of names. In reference to what? What are you looking in reference to?
Animal imagery. He's a snake, but he's also
Okay, right.
He described
dragon
a lion.
And a snake and
yeah.
So here's
a lion who's going forth and back and forth through the earth seeking whom he may destroy.
And Jesus is, when John sees Jesus coming to get baptized, what does John announce Jesus said?
The Lamb.
Behold, the Lamb of God who does what?
Mm-hmm.
Takes away
the sins of the world.
Yes.
How does this false prophet appear as a what?
Wolf in sheep's clothing.
A lamb with a horn, which is not the same.
It looks like
imitation.
And thank you, Dr. Susie, because as we continue on in this lesson, you will see, and I'm going to give a precursor, as a preview of a coming attraction, you will see nothing but imitation. It's what? What is it? It's counterfeit. Does anybody know how bank tellers are trained to recognize counterfeit?
They know how to tell the good one.
They look at
they know everything
the
about the good
real.
One.
They look at everything about all of the points of that bill. $20 bill, $1 bill, $5 bill, $100 bill. They know all of the points of the real one. So if there is an anomaly in the 1, the 5, the 20, the 10, 50, 100, they're like, this ain't real. Well, let's go back to prophecy. What did we just read about prophecy? If you give a false prophecy, how do you know it's a false prophecy? The word doesn't come to pass.
Amen.
Sister Shirley, I don't know if you've been in services like this. You, sister in the blue, come up here, my darling. Come up here. Yes, you. And on the third row. Come up here. Yay, I would say that you have. Are you laughing, Sister Shirley? Are you
laughing? Yes, I am. Come up to the third row. Not the first row, but the third row.
In the blue dress. Come up here. And I see you going into the bathroom crying in the middle of the night, so you have to turn on the water so your children don't hear you cry. And you think he just prophesied to you. He just gave a general, you know, there was nothing that was prophesied. Here's something right now for those of you in the listening audience. Prophecy is very seldom directional. It is most of the time confirmational. It's going to confirm what God has already said to you.
Amen.
It's going to confirm, and it's going to line up with the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. So that's why we have to be in our work. So John is communicating how the false prophet is going to come. He's going to be self-effacing, meaning that he will not be claiming any attention to himself. He's going to be retiring. He's going to be modest. Why do you think he's going to come in so humble?
To get you to believe.
Pardon me? What did you say?
To get you to believe what he says.
We've
got to get everyone in pace.
Go ahead. Brother Mateo, what do you think, brother?
How you doing? I said he got to get everybody on the same page so he can pull off the hoax. If everybody's not in a false sense of peace, then he's not going to get everybody together under one false religion. So first he's got to bring about the false peace. And as soon as everybody gets comfortable, 3.5 years into that 1,260 days, is when he turns on all.
Yes.
So the purpose, so the entire purpose is to get everybody on one accord, one religion.
It's a sneak attack.
Absolutely, my brother. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Blindsided.
So we what did Paul say? He said about being a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have to be students of the word. And, you know, and because of that, he's going to have widespread appeal, but he'll have diabolical, demonic deception. So we have to see that there is a strong relationship between the false prophet and the Antichrist, as well as Satan itself, which is the unholy trinity.
Mm.
Okay. Somebody read for me Revelation 13:12.
Revelation 13:12.
Yeah, this is the, and what you're reading, Sister Shirley, is the purpose of the Antichrist.
Okay. Revelation 13:12 says, "It exercised all the authority of the first beast on its behalf, and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed."
So it exercised the authority of the first beast. Who's the first beast?
Mm-hmm.
Who is the first beast?
The Antichrist.
The Antichrist. So what did the Antichrist do? He gave authority to the false prophet to do what? I'm going somewhere with this.
To give life unto the beast so that it can speak.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the and the inhabitants to worship the first beast. Okay, gave them then.
He seduces the whole world to worship the beast, the first beast. So did everybody receive the? You know, we have the. Has anybody ever seen the coexist sign?
This is the first time we've seen it. They said it's a bumper sticker.
Yes. So look, and this goes in conjunction what you just read, Sister Shirley. The C in that is a crescent moon representing Nation of Islam.
Right.
The X is the Star of David, which represents Judaism. And ironically, the T is the cross of Christ. Now, the C doesn't get along with the Star of David. And sometimes doesn't get along with the T, the cross of Christ.
Right.
But you see what the seduction has already started is what my point is. I'm just saying, why can't we all just get along? Well, you can tolerate me and I tolerate you.
All right, right.
When I was preaching in Gabon, I found out Gabon is a country on the west coast of Africa around the equator. You can look it up. They have a saying over there. We're friends by day, but enemies by night. Let's go on. The O is the peace sign, or it's a pagan Wiccan pentacle, which is substituted for the O. For the letter E, it's a male-female symbol or a scientific equation. That's what is substituted. For the letter I, it's a pagan Wiccan symbol, which is substituted. And for the S, it's the yin-yang symbol. And that is substituted for the S. So what do you think that the purpose of this type of bumper sticker? What message do you see there? Go ahead. Hello? Somebody want to say something?
Well, I think this is Margaret. I think you forgot to mention the T was for Christianity. The last shall be first.
Yes. Oh, come on. Oh, see? Hey, glory. Don't make me shout up in here, Margaret. I almost dropped this thing here. Come on. Well, the false prophet will attempt and have some success in getting religions of different philosophies and theologies, or lack thereof, to come together under a one world religion. Somebody find for me Matthew 11:27. Revelation 13:4 and Revelation 16:14.
So, Gary, did you read anything? So I was asking Gary if he read anything. Gary at one point was reading on things in that order. Did you read anything in relationship to that, Gary?
Jerry, are you on mute, sir?
Yes.
Hi, yes, I'm here.
So Dr. Susie, could you please post ahead and question?
Yes. I was asking in your readings when you were reading about the union, did you read anything that would – go ahead.
Read anything about what now?
Was there anything you were reading that talked or gave you some indication that there would be a unification of groups in the future? Did you get any glimpse of anything that might be in relation to what he's talking about, the beginning of that?
I think I remember reading some stuff like that. I don't remember exactly.
Okay.
So does anybody have Matthew 11:27?
Yeah, I have
Matthew 11:27.
Okay. Go ahead, sir. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him.
Mm-hmm. Revelation 13:4. And somebody get Revelation 16:14.
This is Margaret. I have it.
Okay.
13:4. Revelation chapter 13, verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who can fight against it?
Amen. Revelation 16:14.
Okay, Revelation 16:14?
Yes.
Revelation 16:14 says, they are demonic spirits that perform signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for the battle on the great day of God Almighty.
So the first scripture that was read, you can see the Holy Trinity in action. The second scripture, Revelation 13:4, 16:14, they are unclean spirits. But there is what? What is going on here? What is Satan orchestrating here? What is he replicating? Does anybody have an answer to that? What is going on that you have Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet? What does that represent? How many individuals did I just name?
Three.
Satan? Three.
Three of
the
them.
Unclean Trinity.
The unclean Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Mm. So,
and
they're
going to try to go. They're going to try to go to battle with God. They're going to try and go to battle with God.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you a question. We spoke about how the Antichrist's purpose is to get all of these non-Christian religions to come together, right, and worship
mm-hmm.
the Antichrist. What
yeah.
is that doing to Christianity? What impact will that have on Christianity's influence on the world? Anybody want to say Sister Edith, what do you think? And Margaret will be coming to you. Sister Edith, are you on mute?
She's probably on mute. Go to the next one.
So Margaret,
about time she gets off.
Well,
but that's gonna make us the villains to everyone. They're going to say everyone has come together for peace except the Christians. So it's going to cause
yep.
people to kill them. They're doing the right thing. They're going to make what's good evil.
Mm-hmm.
All the people
mm-hmm.
that out of the beast are going to think that because Christian people don't want to get involved in this one world order where everyone's peace and love everyone. You know what they're doing is and lead them to damnation and makes us the enemy.
And it's,
amen.
And it's more than,
go ahead,
it's more than not just wanting to get involved. It's everybody else just trying to get along, trying to work together, but the Christians are not. They're
right.
Looked as
they
not
don't
want to
be a part
trying
of
to get along, not trying to make it work.
So I need to ask a question. I don't need for you all to date yourself. but about 40 years ago. Let's take 2022 and go back to America in 1975. How was the church there? What was the influence like of the church doing? Brother Mateo, what do you think the church was like 40 years ago?
40 years ago, in most places, the churches were speaking real strongly about getting itself in order for Christ. And that got watered down. It got watered down after the taxable law into the church, which disallowed them to speak about certain things and to have a lot of freedom in their speech in the churches. They put a lot of fear in the church. And that's why now they have a lot of preachers when
you
talk to tickle ears.
Ew. See, now you flowing, brother. Anybody else? So here's the other thing. What would you, how would you characterize the church's impact today in 2022?
So much discord. It's a lot of discord.
Mm-hmm. And so what does that do to our influence, Sister Shirley?
Reduce.
It makes people move away from the church. They move away because they don't.
On the outside of the church, Brother Mateo.
Say that again, brother.
What about people on the outside that's looking in at the church? What do you think their opinion is of us?
I think they're seeing a lot of deception. Satan has moved
right.
his minions to the church. And the church, the people in the church, are not following the laws by regulating things in the church and allowing too much in the church. And even at some time, the devil in the pulpit. And you see these preachers out here preaching about money and prosperity all the time. On the true message of God. So people think that God's about money. So what they're doing is they're discrediting salvation by taking it away from people, by not giving them what they need. Back in the day, there was a huge influence in the community. We prayed every morning at school. We prayed on television. What they've done is they've taken something beautiful and turned it into something evil so people would move away from it by pointing out all about
it. Yes, sir.
This is
very good.
This is Dr. Susan.
Go ahead. Yes.
On my, I've got a page that I participate in, and it's women with natural hair. And so this has nothing to do with hair. They were saying that they thought it was a shame that the churches were making people submit their W-2s so that they could make sure that they were tithing. And people were saying that they were not going to participate in church at all anymore because it was about them robbing people, taking when people can barely make it. And so it totally turned the whole group. I mean, everybody in the group. There might have been one or two people who was going, well, this is not the real purpose, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, so there's such a sour taste, bitter taste in people's mouths. Folk asking for airplanes. Folk building stadiums for their church. People having seven or eight cars. And so the message that's being sent is abuse, neglect, lack of care, selfishness on the part of the pastor. So, and so they don't trust the very thing that's supposed to be the authoritative figure that is trustworthy has been demeaned and viewed as not trustworthy. No longer
Amen.
A representative of God.
Amen.
Right. It become materialistic.
Amen. So the church has become more secular than sacred.
All right.
Amen.
Amen. Definitely. From 1975, it was sacred. Mm. Now it's more circular.
Would you see, can anyone see, and please expound on this? Yes, Dr. Susan.
I was just even going to talk about the governance is now.
That's what I was.
The mm-hmm. governance of the church is now a CEO model. I mean, why are mm-hmm. you using business methodology to run the church?
Right. Because the church is
right.
a business.
No.
Hey,
and we swallow
my
that.
My point is, it's following mm-hmm. the world, is my point.
Yeah.
That's right.
I got you, brother.
Right.
I'm agreeing with you, Doc.
I'm agreeing with you,
Doc. They turn something sacred into a business because everybody wants to be the next so-and-so when they're supposed to be
right.
humble. When Yahushua sent his disciples out, he told them not to take extra coats, not to take this, not to take that. It wasn't about mm-hmm. fashion. When the rich man stepped to him and asked him, what could I do to get this? Jesus told him, sell everything you have and follow me. So if people really read the Bible, they will understand that this is false from the beginning because Yahushua never talked about having money. He also said that it's easier to put the head through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. So they're not paying attention somewhere. And this is what happens when
right.
people are not educated about the Bible, who depend on everybody who talks about the Bible. And just because someone speaks about the Bible, they'll listen to them and be led astray.
Right.
So,
right.
And see, this blending of what the false prophet is, look at the situation of the church. Look at the political turmoil. Look at the lack of true leadership. So is it any wonder mm-hmm. that the strategy of Satan is to blend religion with politics?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, I don't know which one of y'all said it, but I think it was Margaret, that said that it will dilute the influence of Christianity.
Mm.
Mm. So this is part of his ploy. We don't even hardly teach on hell anymore because we don't want to scare the kids. You should
right.
be scared as hell to go to hell. I said it. You should be
exactly,
afraid.
Amen.
I don't want to go to hell. I don't even want a postcard from hell. Please don't say
right.
that to me. There still
Amen.
Is, if you're listening out there, there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Yes.
Amen.
Come on now. So
Amen.
Politics, so you have a blending of politics and religion. And this is what was said by Dr. David Jeremiah. Politics compels compliance by authority. Mm. Religion draws compliance by attraction. Can anybody mm. tell me why that would be a good strategy? Let me ask you this way. Is the mixing of politics and religion a new idea?
No.
No.
Mm. Can somebody give me an example?
Well, Hitler. Hitler. He was using authority and the love for the fatherland and at the same time attempting to present himself as Christ.
Mm-hmm. So when you combine politics and religion, the power becomes what we know as absolute.
Mm-hmm.
So we know for a fact, especially military people and people that have been in corporate America and anybody who's lived as an adult. Power corrupts,
mm-hmm.
yes?
Yeah, it does.
What does absolute power do?
absolute power corrupts absolutely. Amen?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It's like a cancer that eats through you. Yeah, mm-hmm. It does. It's through society.
When Pharaoh found out that the deliverer was going to be born, what did he do?
Bishop.
Yes, doc.
We got about five. We get to
really?
Close it up. But I want to say something before we leave. We're going to pick it up here next week, and I want us to be able to see the analogy that's happened here in the United States. We saw Moses. We saw Pharaoh. Pharaoh called out the magicians and his religion. We saw Rome. We saw, what's his name, Caesar, how Caesar mm-hmm. even made people do Christianity because he wanted the ultimate power to have religion and the politics all in one. When we came to our country, the first thing they said is we will not allow that. We cannot have the mixing between church and state. That's because they did not want to have corrupting, competing power. So
yes.
We got to see that we're in the process, too.
Amen. Amen.
Somebody who would extend an offering, an invitation, so that we can close out tonight? Does anyone want to do that?
Brother Gary, could you do that for us? What would you like me to do?
Okay.
Yes. Could you give the invitation?
You want to do Bishop Arkin?
Amen. Dr. Susie, could you do that, ma'am?
Hello. Anybody there? Did my phone go dead?
Yes.
No, we hear you.
Okay. Am I off the show? Can anybody hear me?
No, you hear. Yes, ma'am.
We hear you.
So, hello? So, if you've been listening to this program tonight.
Can you close because I can't hear anybody?
Yes, I'm closing. If you've been listening to this program tonight and something has pricked your heart and you had some part of concern, if you don't know Jesus, tonight's the night to get to know him. So, I'm going to pray this prayer. And you, my friend, if you believe with us, the Bible says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. And that's when you're going to be saved. That's when you're going to be rescued. So let's go to the Lord. Lord, we come to you tonight on behalf of our friend that is listening, no matter where they are in the world. You're everywhere at one time. You're omnipresent. So, Lord, we come, and we come on behalf of our friend that they would receive you, Lord, as their personal Lord and Savior, that they would come confessing their sins are before them, and they confess them, and they believe in their heart. They've heard the gospel before, that you raised Jesus from the dead, and they are confessing with their mouth that you, Jesus, you are Lord. For with our heart, man believes. With their mouth, they confess unto salvation. So, Lord, come into their heart, come into their mind, come into their life, and let them accept you and receive you into their life. Lord, touch them, touch their families, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, friend, if you prayed that prayer with us, welcome to the family of God. We welcome you with open arms. All of heaven is rejoicing over the repentance or the coming home of one soul. You are born again. We want to counsel you to get into a Bible-believing church. We want to counsel you to read the book of John. That tells you who Jesus is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. He tells us all of this, who Jesus is. The second book I want you to read is because you need to learn how to praise God. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall be continually in my mouth. You need to read the book of Psalms. And in this life, especially right now, you're going to need wisdom. So read the book of Proverbs. John, Psalms, and Proverbs, and you'll branch out from there. Welcome, my friend, to the family of God. Now, if this radio program has been a blessing to you, share it with your friends.
Amen.
And, yes, Dr. Susie, did you want to finish that?
Yeah, we're so glad to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday. So if you continue to join Love Connection, as Bishop was saying, bring a friend with you and join us on every Tuesday at 7 Eastern Standard Time. And if you'd like to write in to entertain and ask a question or have visit us in the studio, the number to call in is 646-478-4932. And if you have questions or you want topics to be discussed, send us an email at drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. God's blessings be with you, and we look to seeing you with us here next Tuesday.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.